Welcome to the Claudio Relsano Show on claudiorelsano.com. Brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. Claudio will be speaking to sports legends from the 70s, 80s, and 90s about their careers, business, and what they're doing now. He will also hold roundtable discussions with some old friends about trending topics in the world of sports. And now, here's Claudio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Claudio Relsano Show. I want to thank Rick Mitchell, who did the introduction for the show, my producer, Adam Zaloof, and obviously always want to thank my sponsors, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. For those of you who don't know, I live in a little town called Swickley, Pennsylvania, just outside of Pittsburgh, and a guy who graduated from my old high school, Quaker Valley High School, in 1972, is still held with such reverence. He's a legend here in Swickley in the Quaker Valley area, really in the Pittsburgh area. And that is former NBA player, Chicago Bulls, Keith Starr, and again, legendary Pitt player. Keith, thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, I appreciate you asking me, even thinking about me.
Well,
that's an honor in itself.
Well, you know what? I appreciate it. And, you know, a few stories before I let you go on with your story. When I was a kid, you remember Sicklers. Sicklers, the old home and garden place, right?
Home and garden place, right. Yeah.
That's right. And I was there with my dad, and there was a TV, and you were playing for Pitt at the time. And every time I go to that store, now it's called Robinson's, I still remember that TV, where it was, and you playing. And not only that, but your parents, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. Your grandfather, we knew him well. He knew my dad real well. They used to talk a lot whenever they see each other at the Holiday Inn in Swickley. Your dad, when my dad was sick and he didn't work at the mill anymore, it was your dad who reached out and offered a hand and say, hey, let me see if I can help you out job wise somewhere. And your mom used to always give me a chocolate Batman sucker when at the A&P. And I never forget that. And she used to laugh like crazy because I never forgot that. I said, Mr. Starr, I always want to thank you for that sucker. She, every time I go in there, she gave me a chocolate Batman and Robin sucker. So you definitely come from a great family. And every time I go by your old house on Nevin, I look over, there's the Starr house.
But I appreciate that very much, man.
All right. Well, you know what? First of all, let's talk about you growing up here in Swickley and on Nevin Avenue.
Well, it was a dream come true. Everyone in Swickley played something: basketball, football, softball, baseball, little league. You know, and all our idols were coaches. You know, I had Mr. Walker. I played for the Phillies, and then Pooch Branch, who coached the Tigers for so long, and so many other coaches there. And they always looked out for us and they made sure that we did the right thing and would always push us in the right direction. And then even playing against each other in Swickley, we had the hill and the valley. And Centennial Avenue would cut off the intersection. So anything below Centennial Avenue was valley. Anything above Centennial Avenue was hill. And we used to play, we had a place called the Green Bowl, and we used to play football in the Green Bowl and go into the dishes and into the bushes and everything else. So, yeah, and then running that hill in the back of Quaker Valley, you know, I think that hill helped me so much as far as my vertical is concerned. it was a great time. And Coach Cortez and, you know, and running the stairs, you know, everything. It was great growing up in Swickley.
It sure is. And, you know, you talk about those places and as soon as you say them, you know, I can picture them because I still live here and I know what you're talking about. So it's pretty nice to hear somebody talk about those areas. Now, when you were a kid, obviously basketball was your number one sport, but were you?
Not necessarily.
Oh, really? What was it?
Football. It was football.
Yeah, oh, okay.
I played quarterback. And for Quaker Valley, Pucky Perry was coaching.
Yeah.
I really loved playing football, but my father said he knew I wasn't going to make any money at it. And I didn't like getting hit from the blind side.
There you go. But what were your goals as a kid here in Switzerland? Was it to play football? Was it basketball?
It was to play basketball. Once I got into, you know, playing against other players in the city and Rochester and down the area, that the competitiveness of it all, and you know, and just, it was something I could do on my own. You know, I remember playing in the back courts of the elementary school. They had basketball rims.
That's right.
And it was outside, and you know, the police officers was out right. And this is a true story. The police officers were, you know, the police station was right on the back end of it.
That's right.
And in the wintertime, we used to clear it out, and you know, I'd work on the game. Police officers would come across sometime if they were, you know, on duty, rebound, and so it was real cool, man. I really enjoyed it.
Well, you know, I live across the street from the. I live in the same house I grew up in. So I live right across the street from the old elementary school and the police station.
Oh, okay.
So yeah,
all right, good,
yeah.
Good,
I remember those old hoops.
Very well. I know them very well.
Well, so Bobby Farrington, you know, the Farringtons, the Berries. You know, we used to go there and play all the time. So that was certainly a special time for sure. Now, talk about your Quaker Valley High School years. I mean, obviously, that, you know, you made a huge name for yourself, and you know, you were the basketball guy. So tell us a little bit about your time there.
Well, it wasn't huge enough to where they even retired anything of mine over there.
They should. You know what?
I don't understand it. And I'm not egotistical in any way, form, or fashion. But, I mean, I don't think there's ever been another professional that came out of Quaker Valley.
Well, let me interrupt you for a second here. And I'm not trying to offend anybody or start anything or be funny about it. But they should have definitely named that gym after you. That's my opinion.
No, I wouldn't say that. I would.
And your number 30 should definitely have not been used. And you talk about professional. The only guys that I know off the top of my head who can have that three-letter word pro next to their name were Chuck Knox, obviously coached.
Yes, indeed.
Phil Zacharias, you remember Phil. He was an assistant, coached, I believe, in the pros.
Right.
There was a kid, Kenny Pryor, who played soccer. I coached him. Great kid. He played in the indoor arena. And not to sound too self-serving, but that's okay. I'm still scouting professionally. And that was my goal, to have those three letters next to my name, pro. And, of course, Keith Starr. And there's no question that, like I said, and I don't mean to take this interview over, but when you come here, people gravitate to you. They still talk about you to this day. And there's been some guys over the years who are good basketball players. And the first thing that I would always say to my dad or to my friends, he ain't no Keith Starr. And it's the truth. So, you know, hopefully one of these days, I mean, I know you're in the Hall of Fame and that's deserved. I'm not, but I'm in three other ones, so that's okay. But they should definitely recognize you a little bit more. But again, talk about a little bit your days at Quaker Valley High School.
Well, my days at Quaker Valley were great ones. I used to have some of the best friends, you know, we all did growing up there, you know. But I'm at the point now where we're putting a lot of them are moving on and passing on. So,
right.
It gets real sentimental after, you know, I just lost one of my closest, I think of her as my sister, Mary Taylor. And so those kind of days.
Oh,
and
sure.
I see Coach Cortez every time I go home, and his wife, Mary Lou, and their family. They're very close to me, and I'm very close to them.
Sure.
And then, you know, then I have them on board, you know, John Monique said, Steve Mastroianni, Ron Nelly, you know, all the way down the road. I stay at Zeke's house all the time when I come home.
Mm-hmm.
And we all get together. We go down to Italian bar all the time. And
SOI, yeah.
SOI, you know what I mean? So, I enjoy coming home. In the summertime, I enjoy it tremendously. Wintertime, no, not really.
Well, not really. You wouldn't want to be here today.
No, I wouldn't do it. No,
yeah, those guys are great guys, and I see Steve a lot. And yeah, like I said, people see you may be gone from here for a lot of years, but you're still here. You're still here.
Right. Yeah. No, I appreciate that.
Now, growing up, who was your favorite basketball player? Who was the guy that you looked up to the most? Maybe it wasn't basketball player, but who besides the coach?
When you say growing up, you're talking about after I left Swickley or while I was in Swickley?
Either or.
Well, when I was in Swickley, it was Dickie Lee. You know, he just went into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
He's someone I always looked up to, and I always admired the way he played the game. And he was a good guy. He took time to teach. You know, and I had a lot of other teachers like Mr. Rideout, who was down at Community Center.
That's right, yeah.
You know, those guys are. And then my the man I love, you know, was, other than my parents, was Coach Cortez, you know.
Right.
Now, if any gym should be named, it should be named after him. Mm-hmm. I would love to see my name, my number in the rafters. And so I don't care if someone wore it, but that's something that everywhere I go, just gyms, I go to these guys that I played with, and, you know, and they didn't make it to the NBA. Their jerseys in the rafters. Right. I just don't understand why they don't do it at Quaker Valley. I just don't understand. But who am I to say?
Well,
other than
maybe,
what I'm saying.
Maybe they'll hear this and an effort will get going.
Well, you never know. It's not only for me. You know, Frank Gasa, the kids played. He's a good player, too.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Other than that, man, but one story I want to tell you real quick. When I was in the NBA playing with Chicago, we went to New Orleans and we played against Pistol Pete.
I love Pistol Pete. Go ahead. I want to hear this.
Well, you know, growing up, that was one of my idols that I you know, listened to and I admired and always wanted to be around. And so I played with Norm Van Leer, who's from Midland.
Midland,
yeah. So Norm Van Leer and Pistol Pete always had this thing going back. And it was a good thing, but they would always be, because Norman was known for defense, and, you know, Pistol Pete was known for offense.
Right.
So they would go at it. I mean, they would go at it all the time. And so we played against them down there, and Norman held Pistol Pete maybe like the 16 points or something like that. And then after the game, I'm sitting in the locker room, and I'm getting dressed, getting ready to go out to the bus. And Pistol Pete comes by the room, and he says, "Hey, Stars." I said, "Yeah, Pistol." He said, "I was born in Swickley."
That's right.
I said, "Pistol, I know you were born in Swickley. You just now finding out that I was." Because he was looking at the program, and he saw I was in Swickley, you know, because I always put Swickley down there.
Right.
As far as, you know, where I was born. Yeah.
Well, Pistol and his dad used to go. Do you remember Bobby's Nightlife on Beaver Street, right by the paper store?
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
They used to go there a lot. And Pistol was one of my favorites, if not my favorite, besides you, of course. And we used to go see my uncle who used to work there. And I told him about Pete. He said, "Yeah, he used to be here when you were a kid." I said, "Well, hell, I wish you'd have told me."
Because he said he used to dribble on the streets of Swickley because he lived there for a little while before they moved down to Footprint.
Yeah, isn't that something?
That's what I used to do is dribble the streets just like you did.
That's a great story. Now, on that, we're going to take a commercial break to hear from our sponsors, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. We will be right back with Keith Starr. The Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, giving you superior allergy care for over 20 years. Located in Dubois, Pennsylvania, please call us for all your hearing and allergy needs at 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
Aspire Pediatric Therapy in locations Moon Township, Pennsylvania at 993 Broadhead Road, Suite 10, and Banksville at 2893 Banksville Road, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, North Hills area, Pines Plaza Shopping Center, 1130 Perry Highway, Suite 120, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and the Punxsutawney area, 1464 North Main Street, Suite 14, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, and the city of Pittsburgh in the north side, 1301 Beaver Avenue, Suite 10, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And remember to check out their website for all of their information at aspirepediatrictherapy.com. Dr. Brandon Roscoe at Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC. Call Dr. Roscoe at 814-503-8070. Great guy.
somebody who I've had a great opportunity to meet, and I appreciate him and his sponsorship. And again, somebody you should definitely look into in his practice. Dr. Brandon Roscoe, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, 814-503-8070.
Okay, we are back with our very, very special guest, Keith Starr. And I love talking to Keith because he's telling some great stories and he's talking about places that I still see and step around here. So now after Quaker Valley, obviously you went to University of Pittsburgh. Number one, what other schools were hot after you? And number two, why did you choose Pitt?
Well, there was a lot of schools. Not to be egotistical, there are a lot of schools after me. Stanford, visited Cornell, I visited Duke, I visited Brown. UCLA came in at the end, at the very end. Who else was there? Everyone, a lot of them on the West Coast, and that was over 200 schools and colleges. And so the reason why I stayed in Pitt is because of Tim Gergerich and Clay Edwards. And that year, the year before I went to Pitt, they were 11-17 as a team. And so then after that year, Tim Gergerich was recruiting when Buzz Little was the head coach and Fran Webster was the Amoeba originator. Fran Webster were coaches. And so myself, Tommy Richards, and there's another guy too. I forget who it was, but Kirk Bruce and everyone's Billy Knight, Mickey Martin. We all decided to stay at Pitt, stay home and build Pitt up and make it a winning program. So that's what we all committed to do, and that's what we had done. So the first year I went there, I forget what we were as far as the team was concerned. We had a winning season, I think. But the second year, we tore it up. You know, we had the longest winning streak in the nation, 22 in a row. And so we're all from Pittsburgh. We're like 14 out of 16 guys are from Pittsburgh on the team. So yeah, that's why we decided to stay. Maurice Lucas got away. He went to Marquette.
Right.
That's the other guy that really got away. Ricky Coleman, I think, went to Miami or somewhere too.
You know, it's crazy you talk about that. It seems like it was yesterday, but when we were kids, you know, obviously we were glued to that team, and you guys just kept winning and winning and winning. Obviously you had great players, but what else would you say was the reason why you guys were able to do what you did?
Oh, the chemistry in Pittsburgh, man.
There you go.
Shaq, you know, you're from Pittsburgh. You know, you're going to work harder than you. We used to run the streets at night. At night now. We used to run the streets. No one knew this. Billy Knight didn't do it because he wanted to keep his legs right. He was smart man. Right. We used to run the streets of Pittsburgh, man, and just think about how we're going to just turn it out and we're going to bring a championship to Pittsburgh.
Right.
You know, in basketball. And so, and then we start running the stairs at the towers, you know, we start running the stairs, but then we start running with a weight vest on my senior year. And that's what hurt my knees when I started doing that stuff with a weight vest, because I used to run the Pitt Stadium with a weight vest also. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, it's because we're all from Pittsburgh, man. That's why.
That's right.
We had the Steelers going strong, the Pirates, and he says, championship city.
It was big time. That's right. It was big time. Now, you know, at the beginning of the show, I talked about your, and we're going to talk more about your Pitt years, but I talked about your grandfather and your mom and dad. You talk a little bit about your grandfather and your grandmother as well. I didn't know your grandmother, but obviously your grandfather, mom and dad.
Well, I appreciate you asking about them. My grandmother is my base. I mean, she's my rock. She was my rock. She and Frances Starr, she was fantastic. My mother, which, you know, and the reason why I say that is because my mother was my heart. I mean, that was my heart, man. And my father, you know, he taught me at the end of life, you know, how to keep moving and taking the downfalls bad and getting back up and getting over it. Mm-hmm. You know, because I had a good life all the way up, man, until I got hurt in my senior year in college, you know, and then because I was scared and I was hurt as hard as I worked. And I my ambition was to be a professional athlete. And then it was taken away from me my senior year. So my father helped me get over that hump. you know, along with the love of my mother and my grandmother. My grandmother passed away by that time. My grandfather, you know, he worked a lot and he was out in the lot, but he, you know, he was a strong man, and he, you know, he'd come and watch me periodically. He wasn't into basketball that much, but he was proud of me because he was working on the problem. I understand that. So, yeah, but yeah, that's, but my base is definitely my mother and my grandmother and my father. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, my grandfather was there too, though.
And like I said, I can still, because your mom, unfortunately, she passed a few weeks after my dad in 2004. But I remember your dad and mom coming to see my mom, you know, when she passed and all that. And again, just wonderful, wonderful people that were always kind to everyone. And like I said, when my dad got sick, your dad was one of the first ones to come over and ask if it was something he could do. And my dad never forgot that. And of course, I'll never forget those Batman lollipops either. So, you know what? On that note, we're going to take another quick break and listen to our sponsors. So we'll be right back with Keith Starr. The Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, giving you superior allergy care for over 20 years. Located in Dubois, Pennsylvania, please call us for all your hearing and allergy needs at 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
Dr. Brandon Roscoe at Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC. Call Dr. Roscoe at 814-503-8070. Great guy, somebody who I've had a great opportunity to meet, and I appreciate him and his sponsorship. And again, somebody you should definitely look into in his practice. Dr. Brandon Roscoe, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, 814-503-8070. And we are back with NBA player and former Pitt player, Quaker Valley superstar, Keith Starr. Keith, you know, when you were at Pitt, now you just kind of talked about that, but what was the best team that you had that you thought you may have had a shot to really go as far as you possibly could?
Well, I thought that my senior year was going to be a special squad also, but then I got hurt. Then Melvin Bennett left and went to the pros right after his freshman year. So I thought that was going to be the best year. But the best year is when we played under with Billy Knight and Mickey Martin. And, you know, that year was really a good year. I mean, we're all, like I said, from Pittsburgh. We all worked for a common goal. And we were leaders. I mean, we didn't have one guy who was a leader. We all led each other. And that's the key. Most teams don't have one leader. But when you're playing from Pittsburgh, you know you're playing for your people. You all lead. If someone was getting back or someone was slacking, we got in their butt. Hey, man, this is for Schwickley. This is for Bradford. This is for Avalon. This is, you know, Shrewsbury and everyone else. You know, we got it done. You know, Bobby Shrewsbury was a tough player, man. And when I went down, and he really stepped up and played. You know, we played against each other in high school when he was at Avalon. And Tommy Richards, you know, him, he was a prolific. He can shoot the heck out of the ball.
Right.
Shoot the heck out of the ball. And so, you know, they talk about Curry. That's what Tommy used to do.
And Billy Knight, of course, went on to have a one. And Billy Knight went on to have a great career in the NBA.
Oh yeah, Billy Knight was there. He was one of my idols, and played against him one on one, you know, all the time. And Franco Harris played against him one on one all the time.
Yeah,
you know, we're in that atmosphere. So we're in that atmosphere of being champions.
Now, when in your mind did you say to yourself, "Hey, I got a legitimate shot to be a professional"?
Well, I really thought it as my sophomore year in college. my sophomore year in college when we really did what we thought we could do. I knew my ambition was, and when I hit my junior year in high school, my ambition was to be a professional. But when I really knew that I could be a professional was when in my sophomore year in college.
Okay.
And that was because of a coach from Boston Celtics came to watch Billy Knight play, and he saw me, and he said something like, "Who's number 30?" So
was it Tommy Heinsohn at the time?
No. The guy, the cigar.
Oh, Red Auerbach.
Yeah, Red Auerbach.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Coach Auerbach. Yeah. So I was 6'7" and I could jump and I played hard. And I was a point guard. So
that was my next question. Describe your game. I mean, you were kind of back then, the point guards weren't as tall as you. Everybody obviously connects Magic Johnson to the big point guards, but you were a little bit ahead of Magic Johnson. So describe your game. Yeah.
Well, my game was defense, first of all, because I made sure that no one tried to score it on me. That was the main thing. And then the second thing was the fact that I could handle the ball. I grew 4 inches in one summer. And so I was destined to be a point guard, and I worked on it all the time. Like I said, pre-marriage was my idol growing up, so I had the ball in my hand the whole time. And so and I loved to pass the ball and set people up. So and I was a scoring point guard and a rebound. I had the first triple double, if I'm not mistaken, at Pitt.
Wow.
And then I had two of them in 1 year, and I didn't play my senior year in college. So I'm proud of those attributes. So I think I try to do it all. I mean, I watched about the Boston Celtics growing up. You know, so like I said, Pete was my idol, and then JoJo White and those guys. I used to watch those guys, and they played hard and they played defense. So, and yeah, Magic was after me, but right. I'm not gonna say I'm a Magic, but you know, I tell you what, Adrian Dantley told Anthony Jones, who I coached at UNLV, and I went to see Anthony Jones play. He was playing for the Dallas Mavericks at the time. Him and Adrian Dantley, and I went down at the bottom, and AD said to Anthony Jones, he said, you know, that was the first tall point guard. Magic was not the first tall point guard.
That's right.
Him.
Yep.
You know, so I made me feel good because we used to play AD and them all the time at Notre Dame. You know, even though I didn't make a big name for myself being out, you know, because I got hurt in my senior year in college, I didn't play at all. I still made it to the pros.
That's right.
Feel good. I still feel good about it, but I don't feel great about it, you know, because I wanted to be an all-star. I wanted to live my life. But sure. I was definitely to teach and teach other kids. And so I've turned my life into coaching, and that's what I've done, and that's what I continue to do. It's 64 years old. I'll be 65 in March, you know. So right now I'm coaching Coach Gergrich's grandson.
Oh, wow.
You know,
wow.
He got me I'm coaching over at his middle school now. So
okay.
I coached at UNLV for 8 years.
Yeah.
And I coached high school basketball here for over 18 years. And so I took a year off last year. I got a passport. I've never been out of the country. So I'm trying to do a little traveling on my own. You know, I'm single right now, so. Single and old. That's not a good combination.
You're still all right. But yeah, we're definitely going to get into your coaching career. But as far as the knee injury is concerned, tell us a little bit about what happened.
Well, I think what happened. I know what happened. Going into my senior year, I knew no one in the country was going to be in better shape than I was going to be. I knew that, and I worked at it. And so I used to run the Pitt Stadium 2 miles. And then I used to run the stadium stairs 30 times because of my number.
Right.
So I ran the stadium stairs 30 times, and then I ran 2 miles. And then I used to run with Franco 440. And Franco used to get me on my on a jump rope for like 20 minutes at a time. So I was on my jump rope for 20 minutes at a time. But now I wanted to take a step further. So I put a weight vest on my back, and then I was building my legs up, but I was breaking my legs down with the added weight on my back.
Right.
And so the first game my senior year, we were playing against Yugoslavia, and I was 5 for 5 from the field. Gregory had my jumper on. I was 5 for 5 from the field. I went down on a power move. I went to a jump stop, and my knee just gave out, man. And that was the first game against Yugoslavia. And so I tore my ACL. And back then, they just took the ACL out and told you you weren't going to be able to play anymore. And so I said, that's bull. So I, you know, just worked as hard as I could to get my legs back to where I would be able to have an opportunity to play in the NBA and or come back to Pitt. I had to drop six credits in order for me to be able to come back to Pitt. I couldn't come back as a graduate in those days. Mm-hmm. So I was working out daily. I mean, guys by the name of Otto Stowe had me jumping out the gym. And I, because he was stretching me and doing, teaching me a lot of things about leg strength and foot strength and toe strength and everything else. So,
wasn't he a football player?
Yeah, he's a football player. And he
for
coached
Dallas.
At Pitt too.
Yeah, he was with the Dallas Cowboys.
And he played for the Miami Dolphins unbeaten season.
Right, he was a wide receiver.
He coached at Pitt too. He coached at Pitt with, I think Johnny. I think it was Johnny Majors. Or Cheryl. I think Jack Cheryl. Anyhow, he's the one that got me right like that. And so, Captain City NBA, Ed Badger is a guy who recruited me, who put together that whole Chicago Bull deal. Mm-hmm. Not Ed Badger. I'm sorry. Jerry Krause. Jerry Krause is the guy who drafted me for the Chicago Bulls first pick in the fourth round, but I didn't play it all my senior year, and I could go back. And then Coach Gergerich was going to be the head coach that year, too. So if any mistakes I made in my entire life, it was the fact that I went to the pros and then go back to college and play for Coach Gergerich. Wow. If there was anything I had to do over again, that would have been it. For one thing, I'd have got my legs stronger again. I would have been in a great atmosphere, and I would have gotten a lot better, too. So if that's one mistake I made, that was it.
Now, on the Bulls, you had some – pretty good names: Artis Gilmore, Bob Love, Jack Maron, and of course you mentioned Norm Van Leer. How were you treated by your teammates, and did anybody take you under their wing and kind of show you around, help you out?
Oh yeah, I was treated royally from them because I played hard on defense, and I took charges and I dove for loose balls, and so it was something as an oddity. And then I was from Strickley, and Van Leer is from Midland,
right?
And so he took care of me, kept me under his wing. I also, Bob Love had me get his newspaper in the morning, on the road. So I took care of that. But, he was a great guy. And then there's Artis Gilmore. He used to cut my hair and get my haircut on the road. He was another great guy. I remember one time in practice, I was a jumper, man. I didn't very rarely. I would dunk on it if I could in a minute.
Right.
And so I would come down on the right-hand side. And big fella, artist would come in, and I would go up, and I would try to lay up high, and he would throw it out. He would throw it in and block it, right? So I came down again. The next time in practice, same thing. I come down, and he goes up, and I throw it up high as I can. He blocks it again. I said, okay, big fella, I understand. I'm in the league now.
Well, he was definitely a great one for sure.
Oh, and Jack Maron was a heck of a shooter, man. Left-handed mm-hmm. shooter. Oh, he could shoot the heck out the ball. And they took time to teach me, too. And then I played for Cleveland Cavaliers. Clyde Frazier took time to teach me different things. And Austin Carr. Then I went through the Lakers organization, and Kareem really took me under his wing. We used to go out to dinner every night while I was in the camp with them in San Diego. Norman was there, and Kermit Washington, and so I've been around a lot of great athletes and a lot of good people. I've been blessed to have that.
I played for
Jerry West, so I was playing for down there.
Now you mentioned some unbelievable names: West, Kareem, Van Leer. I know me personally, whenever I'm in the presence of a lot of former major leaguers that I grew up watching, sometimes I have to pinch myself, but I also have to realize, hey, wait a minute, we're here to do work. So you kind of quit the dreamland stuff. Like, what did you ever say to yourself, man, here I am, Keith Starr from Swickley, and I'm having dinner with Keith, with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I mean, did that ever, or with Pete Maravich, did that ever go through your mind?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. I worked to get there.
Sure.
I remember I used to get out of Franco Harris's house on the north side. And right. it was when the guys used to play cards. And Joe Green would be in there. And all the guys who would play cards with it, Rocky Black, all them guys would be in there. And I'd walk in and I would go up the steps and just watch, just go halfway up the steps and just sit down and just look at all these guys. And I'm like, God dang. I'm from Swickley, and I'm sitting there with Franco Harris and Rocky Fire and all these guys playing cards. And in fact, I used to thought I said something to Franco. He said, hey, Keith, you're a pro now. Quit acting like that. I'm like, oh, shit. This is you guys, man.
And you know, it's funny you said that, because Jim Rooker used to say that to me whenever we'd be at a golf tournament or whatever. He'd say, because you know, I'd look at these guys like I did when I was 10 or 12.
Right, you know? Right, right.
And like, for example, even on my show, I've had Al Oliver on. Of course, yourself and Rocky Blyer, Roman Gabriel. And I'm saying, sometimes I say to myself, now, what the hell am I doing talking to these guys? Or I'm at a golf tournament and I'm looking over and there's Rocky or whoever. And it's like, man, I should just put these clubs away and watch. So I instead of saying that, I just say how grateful I am, how blessed I am to be doing what I'm doing. And I still watch them. And I still have that tingle when you see these guys.
Roberto Clemente. I remember one time that I was down, we were getting my cousin and I, Sam Walker, we used to go to Forest Field and wait for them guys to come early. And Roberto Clemente came in, he had a limousine, black limousine, he got a limousine going into the stadium, and he had his glove with him, and he let myself and my cousin put his glove on.
Wow.
I'll never forget that as long as I live. And I had an opportunity to go to Puerto Rico probably about a year ago, and and I was going into a van. I was going on a cruise, and I was going into a van to tour Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy. The guy had his keys in the ignition, and they had Roberto Clemente medallion at the end of it.
Right.
And when I sat there in the van, I said, "Man, you know, I'm from Pittsburgh. Roberto Clemente is my idol." And he said, "Well, that's my uncle." I said, "Oh, wow." And he gave me that medallion. I still have that medallion today. And I have it right in the middle of my car, man. That was the man of all men right there, Roberto Clemente. Riva. Yeah, Riva.
He was definitely special on the field and more importantly off the field.
That's right.
With that, we're going to take another commercial break to hear from our sponsors, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. We will be right back with Keith Starr. The Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, giving you superior allergy care for over 20 years. Located in Dubois, Pennsylvania, please call us for all your hearing and allergy needs at 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
Dr. Brandon Roscoe at Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC. Call Dr. Roscoe at 814-503-8070. Great guy, somebody who I've had a great opportunity to meet, and I appreciate him and his sponsorship. And again, somebody you should definitely look into in his practice. Dr. Brandon Roscoe, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, 814-503-8070. Okay, we are back with Keith Starr. I'm really enjoying this, Keith, by the way. I could talk to you all day. But,
I appreciate that. Likewise. Thank you.
Now, you played, 17 games in the NBA, then unfortunately, I guess, the knee acted up again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, you know, like I said, that was an opportunity for me to get there, and I got there. And one of the things that there's a lot of politics involved in the NBA. We're in business, as you know.
Sure.
You know, I just tell you one story, and I tell the story periodically, but not that often. But I was the rookie camp. They have a rookie camp, and so I turned the rookie camp out. Myself and a guy by the name of Willie Smith, who lives out here in Vegas, we turned the rookie camp out. And so now the veterans come in and we're balling and I'm playing well. I'm playing with with Van Leer, and they're talking about us being in the backcourt together and all this. And so at the time, Jerry Krause is the one that brought me in. He brought Willie Smith in and another guy. I think Dallas Smith was the first name. And then Scott May. Scott May was there also. And so Jerry Krause was trying to look for a coach because Dick Motta had just left. Mm-hmm. And so now Jerry Krause is looking for the coach. But the interim coach is by that guy by the name of Ed Badger, who coached at a junior college in Chicago. So Jerry Krause didn't want Ed Badger to be the head coach. And so now what happens somewhere down the line, Jerry Krause gets fired. So now Ed Badger becomes the head coach. And so now when Ed Badger becomes the head coach, he gets rid of Willie Smith. Anyone that Jerry Krause brought in, he gets rid of him. So he couldn't get rid of me because of my contract. I had a no-cut contract at that time. So now we get into the season, and he doesn't play me at all. He doesn't play me at all. And there's nothing I can do about it other than, you know, keep busting ass in practice.
Right.
So we were playing in Denver at one time. We're down like by 20 points, 25 points before we go into the half. And he puts me in. He puts me in at the point. So he says, get us down by 15. So we get down by 14 or 13 points. Now this would be, and then we go in at halftime. And then the second half we come out, I'm thinking I don't play at all again. So that kind of stuff happens, man. And it pissed me off because it gave me an opportunity to play my natural position and show, and I did. But
right.
he still benched me. And so it's a lot of politics. But, you know, he had his reasons. I don't know why, but that's what's happened sometimes. I just had to deal with it. So I think my whole deal is teaching kids, and I've had an opportunity to do that by coaching with Jerry Karkanian you know, I had a lot of great coaches. I coached a lot of guys. Coached Bruce Bowen of Cal State Fullerton, Cedric Ceballos at Cal State Fullerton, you know, so, and then all the guys at UNLV, and you know, all them guys. So
yeah. Well, that was my next thing. You got into coaching and with the legendary Jerry Tarkanian. Talk about your experiences there in Vegas.
Well, it was unmatched. I mean, we had a dynasty going on out here at one time. And
sure.
Jerry Tarkanian was a great coach. I mean, he was everything had to be to the T. Now, when the ball was thrown up and things had to be done during the game, then you have Coach Gergerich, who was his right hand man, making the right decisions. And the work ethic that we had out here was a Pittsburgh work ethic.
Right.
You know, Coach Gergerich, Clay Edwards, Melvin Bennett, myself. You know, we all came out here, and then they had a good work ethic also. I'm not saying they didn't, because UNLV was some hardworking guys.
Sure.
But Coach Gergerich had us out here running at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in 115-degree weather outside.
Wow.
Miles and sprints and built up a program that no one worked harder than us, and that's what happened. And so we used to run guys off the court, man. So I'm not talking about for 1 or 2 years. We're talking about 8 years.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it was great coaching with him. He was a heck of a character as far as Coach Tarkanian. It was good to be around him. But he let his assistant coaches coach. That was ideal. Because a lot of coaches don't let their assistant coaches coach on the floor.
Right.
You know, but we were all part of it. You know, Melvin Bennett did a great job with the big men, you know. And so – It was really good to see it. See, I was with the guard, so it was good.
Now, one of the things, baseball today, I grew up in a great era of the 70s and a piece of the 80s where, in my opinion, the skill level was better. There were more colorful players. It was just, for me, it was a magical time. And I was a huge, huge NBA fan. And I love the guys like Pistol Pete and Tiny Archibald, and we talked to, you know, Dan Roundfield, you know, all those guys.
Yeah,
and then guys a little bit later on with Magic and Bird and Barkley and all those guys. But today, I'm not saying they're not good, but it's not the same for me in baseball. I mean, I'm grateful to be working in professional baseball and college baseball, but I don't see the game being the same. Do you see what is your opinion of the game today in basketball compared to when you were growing up and playing?
There's no comparison, really, as far as defense is concerned. I remember when I used to go through the lane in defense, I mean, you would get hit in his chest with an elbow, and it would almost take you out. You know, if you didn't know where you were going, it wasn't supposed to be there at that time, they'd let you know it. Like Bob Lanier gave me an elbow one time and told me to get the hell out the lane. and I understood what he meant because he right. gave me an elbow. And the veterans, they got those calls. They didn't get those calls. Now, there's a flagrant.
Right.
You know, so you stop. You can't impede someone's progress by holding that, you know, by just putting your hand on them, you know, and then you got a shooter who shoots like 5 and 6 three-point shots and never hits the ground. So if you hit two jump shots on me, you're gonna hit the ground on the third one. I'm gonna take a foul. They don't do that anymore, you know. But we didn't fight, but we know we let you know. If you're going to hit one, you're going to make sure you hit one. You're going to be looking for me on the fourth one.
Now, you mentioned passing earlier about Pistol Pete. And I love the fancy guys like Maravich, but also the accurate guys as I mentioned, Tiny Archibald, or even if they show highlights, maybe Ernie D. Gregorio from Providence.
Ernie
who played
D.
for
yeah,
Buffalo.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
He was a great little passer. And, of course, the Magic and the Birds. I don't see that today. I don't see people might call him a hot dog. I enjoyed it, but I don't see those kind of passes today.
Right. Well, I watched a kid from, where did he play ball? Duquesne. He played at Duquesne for a minute. And he played for the 76ers. He's from Pittsburgh too.
Oh yeah.
He's a good passer. McDonald, something like that.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. It'll come.
Yeah. His sister, I think, was coaching at Penn for the women's team.
Yeah.
Now he was a good passer. I like the way he passed. And he got the ball up the court. There's some good passers. There's no doubt about that. You know, and the kid from Lakers is a good passer too. Ball. He's a pretty good passer. Mm-hmm. The game has changed too much. I mean, it's changed a lot. But then you got KD out there, 7 foot, playing like he's a guard. I mean,
yeah,
not to play the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, and they're great athletes. I'm not saying they're not right. in both sports, but right. McConnell, that's the kid's name.
McConnell. Yeah.
But I just don't see the flair. Like in baseball, you talk about Clemente with the basket catches and the way he would walk to home plate, or you know, there's no like Dave Parker used to do the snatch catch, Ricky
right,
Henderson
right, right,
the snatch
right.
catch. You just don't. And then when you do get a guy like that, they criticize him, you know, because you're like, it's not, you hit a home, like Reggie Jackson used to hit a home run and he'd watch it. He wasn't putting anybody down or showing anybody
up. Right,
he just had a flair about him. Now you do that, and they cry the blues and they'll throw at you. It's just, I don't know. It's not the same. Maybe I'm just old, Keith. I don't know.
Oh, old school.
There you go. Now, one of the things, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this show, I've been fortunate enough to know a lot of athletes and I respect them as players, but Chuck Noll used to say what you're going to do with your life's work. And I've always admired the guys who did well after they were done playing and or coaching. And obviously you had the career you had playing wise, and unfortunately it was cut short, but you had a very good career coaching wise and you still are coaching and impacting lives. But tell us about your business life and what you're doing in Las Vegas now.
Well, I had an opportunity to become a State Farm agent over 25 years ago. So I'm doing that. So I've been doing that for 25 years and I have a son and a daughter and an ex-wife, you know, all good close friends. I mean, my kids was out, but my ex-wife and I are still good friends. So it's been good. My life's been good out in Vegas. I've been there for 40 years, and so I enjoy Vegas. I enjoy the heat. I enjoy the warmth. The heat when it's hot, it's hot. There's no doubt about
it. It sure is.
You know, but I go out in a little bit, and then I'm back inside, just like I would do back when I'm back east in the cold. I enjoy Vegas. It's been very good to me, and it really has. I enjoy the kids that I've worked with. I've worked with numerous kids over the years. I'm happy here. I'll probably never leave here. If I do anything, I would. If I'm fortunate enough to make enough money somewhere down the line, and you know, I'd go maybe San Diego just to have a nice little place. We come to have a nice place in Pittsburgh too for the summertime.
I thought you were going to say you're going to go to Italy because you grew up on Nevin. That was like Little Italy.
That is Little Italy. That is a little Italy. And then people wonder why I want spaghetti all the time, because I used to eat at their houses on Sundays all the time.
That's right. You ate the real stuff, though.
You got that right. You got that right.
I was in Vegas. I've been in Vegas, I guess, around 6-7 times for trial camps. And 2 years ago, I was there for the boxer Vinny Pazienza had his movie premiere out there. So I love visiting. It was beautiful to see, but I can't take the heat. You know, I mean, yeah, it's cold here today. I can take the cold, but I can't take the heat. So you and I are opposites like that, but it's beautiful there. It's beautiful there. It's definitely, my daughter wants to go there when she turns 21. So I promised her, all right, when you turn 21, but I got to keep an eye on her. She doesn't hit those machines too much.
She's going to hit them. Ain't no doubt about that. Yeah. I come home and Amos Sara and the guys make spaghetti for me.
There you go.
Yeah, it's good, man. It's a good deal. Good deal.
Well, you know what? Like I said, people still talk about you. And with such reverence and such, they love you, and I know why, and that's because number one, you came from a great family, and you did a lot of people proud here, not just your family, but your friends and the Quaker Valley area, the Swickley area, and to me, your name and you were always magical. You know, like I said, from the time I saw you on that TV at Sicklers, and I followed your career at Pitt and at the Bulls, and obviously. I even had a letter from you that I wrote to you, but you wrote back when you were at Cal State Fullerton. So,
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Well, like I said, you're appreciated. And, like I said, I followed your career and it was something that was important to me to achieve things, you know, because as I said, you and Chuck was like an uncle to me. Every time he came here, you talk about Italian food. My mom used to load the table with Italian food and unfortunately Chuck passed away this year. And it was to me, you know, you guys were guys to look up to and strive to be like, both as people and as professionals, and I can't tell you what a thrill it is for me to interview you, and from that 9-10 year old kid who watched you on TV to and occasionally I saw you at Eaton Park here, I don't know when was it, last year when your daughter was going to do something with the Steelers, I believe.
Yeah, she worked with the Steelers for the internship for 6 months. Yeah,
right. So it's always great to be with you and to see you, and hopefully I see you again soon. And it's really, really an honor to have you on the show, Keith. And I can't thank you enough.
Well, it's my pleasure, and hail to Pitt. And it's great to see what they're doing. Miami beat our butt, but you know, it was great to see how they're coming back and with the Coach Cable and how he's bringing them together, and it's good to see. I watched them play. They have a good squad. I hopefully I have an opportunity to come back there and watch them play live. As long as it's not too cold, but I want to get back. I miss that atmosphere, and I want to be around it. And I want to see Quaker Valley play. I haven't seen them play with our coach down there too. So. Coach Masserani. So I'm real happy to see them play well too. So
yeah, they've done well. They certainly have done well in their sports over the years, football, basketball, and I know I enjoyed my time there. I was head coach there in '88. I was 23. I was assistant for 5 years under Coach Wozniacki, who played at Pitt.
Yeah, I know Coach Wozniacki. Yeah.
And he brought me along after my graduate in '82 to coach there, and then I was head coach in '88, and then I went on in some other spots. But it was definitely a thrill, and I did my little thing here for whatever that was worth. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it for sure. This is a great town. Swickley there's not a place in the world I'd rather live. And I'll come visit Vegas. I don't know if I can make it there.
I'm sorry. Just bring your money and leave it. So we have to pay state tax.
You know what? My cousin went there for a wedding several years ago, right? And he put a quarter in the machine. He lost. And he said, that's it. He didn't gamble anymore. I mean, nobody has the willpower of my cousin. A couple years ago when I went to see Vinny's movie, as I said, went to the casino and I won $80, right? So I got up and Vinny said, where are you going? I said, I'm done. They didn't build this beautiful place by people losing money or making money. Now Vinny, and it's in his movie that, he used to go to the casinos and play blackjack. And he won in the movie. I think they said he won like 25 grand or something like that. Well, really, in all honesty, he's won like millions. One time he won, he fought Roy Jones Jr. Then he went downstairs to the casino, and I believe he won like 1.2 million or something like that. Blackjack. Wow. Yeah. He's not, and he lost it like a month later at the Bellagio. So that's another story that he'll have to tell when he's on my show. But, yeah, I like visiting Vegas, but I'll take Swickley. But Keith, I cannot thank you enough for being on the show again. It means a lot to me that you took time out. You're still a legend here. You always will be. And hopefully I'll see you again soon.
I appreciate that very much. And like I say, hail to Pitt, and Swickley is the best. There's no doubt about it. I have a jersey and I wear it. My kids and I wear them proudly.
All right, man. Good, good. Well, we're proud to have you. That's for sure. All right, brother. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Claudia.
All right, Keith.
Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody. Well, I really, really enjoyed that. Keith is a great guy. And as I said, great family. And definitely a legend here in the Swickley area. As always, I want to thank my producer, Adam Zalouf, my sponsors, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, the Roscoe family, great people. And I really, really appreciate their support and belief in me and in the show. You can listen to my show on my website, ClaudioRealsano.com. iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. You can subscribe to us. Send me a note if you want. You got my email. Send me something nice. I don't need anything negative. Pass the word on. Upcoming guests, guys who have confirmed, I told you before, Bob Backlund, the WWF, former WWF, now WWE champion. Vince Papale, the subject of the movie Invincible. We've had some great guests on prior. I have a female of, she's the vice president of the American Boxing Federation. Claire Burke is going to be on soon. She's got a great story. So hopefully you guys are enjoying the show. I'm enjoying doing it. And I appreciate all of you guys listening. And as always, thank you, Mom and Pop. Talk to you guys soon.
Thank you for listening to the Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. Be sure to tune in next time on ClaudioRossano.com.